Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast. We are back at it today with part two of our Table Talk series, recorded live at Passion 2021. If you missed part one, pause right here and tap on back to last week's episode so you can have all the context and all the goodness that you surely do not want to miss. This talk was captured right in the middle of conference as Shelley Giglio joins up again with Levi Lesko, Jackie Hill Perry, Ben Stewart, and Christian Huff as they talk about the gospel in relationships. They really cover the gamut of relationships in this brief but weighty conversation. So there's something for everyone in this episode, and it's one that we really think you're going to want to share as soon as it's over. Be sure to stay tuned all the way to the end if you want to hear more about Passion 2021. And here is Shelley Giglio and friends live at Passion.
So I'm back with my friends who I love so much. I was thinking about how John talks about when we come to life that we basically are placed into family. Mm. And we all of a sudden go from people who didn't belong anywhere to people who belong to God. Mm. And in that, we become brothers and sisters with people who also believe. Mm. And so we are what we call the church. We are part of a body that is greater than ourselves and actually involved in a body. We serve as a part of the body. Mm. And in that, God accomplishes his perfect will, I guess, on earth through us, which is a miracle. Yeah. I think if I was God, y'all can speak to this too, but I might have thought of some other way besides putting a bunch of people together and saying, y'all work as family, right? Yeah. It seems like a kind of a broken idea, but in the redemption of God, he chose it as his idea. So just talk a little bit about family and what that means to you to be a part of something greater than yourself.
I think it's important to remember that like our culture places such an emphasis on like, I want to find myself, I want to become myself. But according to the New Testament, you can't become yourself by yourself. That it takes the context of each other for us to really discover truly who you are.
Yes.
And so like if I'm a brick and you're a brick, we're only a temple together. And so there's a sense in which I'll never find and discover who I'm really meant to become outside of the rubbing against each other on days where that's pleasant, on days where there's sparks because of that. Mm-hmm. But really, you and I are going to help each other become who we want to be deep down.
It's great. Yeah.
I love that because, you know, Paul says that we are members of one another. Like we're all members of Christ, but we're members of each other. And that's part of this, that we're meant to be together. And so Ephesians, he says that speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into the head who is Christ. Yeah. So the only way I'm going to look like Christ is if I'm listening to you speak the truth to me in love. And that's, I think, part of what's the potential for us as a community that's so different than the culture is people tend to think of speaking the truth as a hostile thing.
Right.
And love is full acceptance. But we as a community get to say, no, I accept you right where you're at, but I love you too much to let you stay there. So I'm going to speak the truth to
love.
And that helps all of us grow. And I think as we're a community that does that, the world just doesn't see that. And we get to be a picture of Jesus. Because John was summarizing.
I feel like the Christian community does a good job sometimes of laying out the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what you need to know. But I'm not sure we always do it in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure that love is always attached to the truth. And occasionally I see the community of Christian people who are all about love.
Yeah.
Man, you just bring people in and accept them and it's okay. They're just people and they're flawed and that's just the way it is. We're just going to all love each other. But where does the refinement come of the truth if there is no truth in love?
Yeah.
And so I just feel like there's a combination of those two things that scripture speaks to you so profoundly that invites us to something that is transformative.
Yeah.
The community is what transforms our entire being.
Yeah.
Jackie, you speak to this so well. Girl, we're waiting.
Yeah, people don't like me.
Come on, girl. Well, yeah, they do.
Well, I think what I truly believe is that truth and love are really the same thing. I would really be a terrible person if God didn't tell me the truth about myself, about himself.
Yeah.
I would be a terrible person if my friends didn't tell me the truth about myself, about God, etc. I think the fear of telling the truth and the addiction to telling the truth all come out of ego. You know, yeah. you have people who they love to tell people about their sin because it makes them feel good about themselves.
Right.
They
yeah.
feel like they have something over that person. Or you have the person who God's love, he's patient, he's kind, and they don't want to talk about how he's just and he's wrath, and they ain't read the Old Testament apparently. And they don't want to say those things out of preservation for their own feelings. They don't want people to dislike them. Meanwhile, this person is going to hell when you got the truth in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think
yeah. people don't like you, but they really do. They really do.
I think the hope for the fearful and the Pharisaical is the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through the Spirit of God, we can be bold and honest. We can be truth-telling and loving. We can be gentle and harsh, if need be. Harsh as tempered by the Spirit. But you get what I'm saying. The Spirit of God will help us. If we try to tell the truth in our flesh, we will fail. Every single time.
I feel like all you have to do is look at Instagram. You'll see that.
Yeah.
It is a failure.
Yeah.
Because it feels like we want to speak for the purpose of building ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're speaking about. You're speaking about ego being the main driver.
Yeah.
And when I need to feel good about me, then I'm telling you the truth so that I look better. But when I actually want you to know the truth so that it will help you be better.
Yep.
Yeah.
It will actually improve your life, not my stance.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's powerful, and that feels like Jesus to me.
Yeah. Well, John, when he was trying to summarize Jesus, kept saying over and over again, he was full of grace and truth. That was his summary of him. He was full of grace. He's so kind to you, and he was full of truth. And I think when we can pull those pieces together as the people of Jesus, the world will want to come to us because they say, if I'm broken, these people will accept me. They're so gracious. Or if I'm lost, these people are going to come real.
Yeah.
And if we are a community that models that and the way we treat each other, I think that's going to be attractive in a world that is increasingly feels lost and isolated and alone. And we have the potential to be a beautiful counterculture, and I think the world needs
it. So how does that practically work itself out? So Christian, you're married.
Congrats.
Hey,
she's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Way to go. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you live in a world where you have to tell the truth in love.
Yeah.
Because you're married. I'm married. I know how that feels.
Yeah.
I also live in a family. I have parents, have siblings. You have parents and siblings. So you have to tell the truth in love there. Then you move out into your friend group.
Yeah.
Turns out all your friends don't believe exactly like you do. So you have to tell the truth in love there.
Yeah.
So talk about the practicality of what does that look like in a real life setting where you're just trying to make an influence with people that's good.
Yeah, that's so good. I'll kind of speak to the beginning that you said that about with Sadie. And I'm so glad that we started dating when we started dating, and I'm so glad that we met when we did, because I got my relationship with Jesus a year and a half before we ever met, which is something that was so good, because if we would have met 2 or 3 years before that, I probably would not be here, we would not be married, which is such a good thing. And I really just want to speak to guys my age and around my age who are in relationships and who are pursuing relationships. And maybe you know that it's not the best thing, and you know that maybe you shouldn't be in it. For me, with Sadie, the toughest thing that I ever had to do with talking to her, speaking the truth in love, was looking her in the eye and say, the mistakes that I made, the things that I did before I met you, I was not considering the person I was going to marry. And that was the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. Mm. And for her to accept that, and to be gracious in that was one of the most truthful, loving things I've ever seen, just displayed in the way of Jesus. So if you're a guy, man, consider who you're going to be with. If you're a woman, consider who your spouse is going to be, because it's one of those things where in the moment you don't really think about it, and you might look back and it's going to be really tough and it's really hard. So for me and Sadie, I know that was one of the biggest first things of speaking the truth in love. And even now doing ministry together and encouraging one another. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that he lists all these things that he says, if you prophesy and if you, you know, have faith to move a mountain, but you don't have love, you're nothing. And that's something that we've been kind of going over through quarantine. It's the idea of we can do all these things, but if we don't have love, if we don't speak that truth in love, then we're nothing. We can do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it even goes on to say you're like a really loud clanging cymbal.
Yeah, cymbal, yeah.
That's really annoying and nobody would want to hear.
Yeah.
Because you're telling a lot of things, but you're not living things.
Yeah.
And people are very discerning and they know the difference.
Yeah.
And People want to hear the truth from people that care about them.
You know what would be awesome?
You should tell us. What would be awesome?
What would be awesome is if all the men that you just spoke to would speak the truth in love by saying, hey, I don't really want to be with you. I just want to be around you for my own ego. Yeah. That would be great.
Wow. Yeah.
Because that is one aspect of speaking the truth in love.
Honestly, and I think this is such an important conversation because we kind of started out talking about church and friendships and all that, but now it's shifted over to romance a little bit. And I think in our culture, when we talk about, are you in a relationship? Like if I said, are you in a relationship? Half you would raise your hand, half you wouldn't. But every one of you are in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Mom, friend, boss, those are all relationships.
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times the mistake that's made is when we start dating, we only ask, how are they at the romantic one? But maybe the best way to figure out what kind of a spouse they would be is how are they at all their other relationships?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do they have any friends of years? How are they as a son? How are they as a boss? Have they left 10 churches? Have they left 10 jobs? You know, you're discovering what's written on their soul how they do all relationships, not just the one where they're trying to pretend who they are, what they want you to think they are for long enough to get you.
Exactly. Well, and I think there's...
Didn't he write a whole book about this? Come on, man. You got to know something
here. Single dating engaged.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't really use the word in the book courtship because there's so much baggage with that word and what it means. But I think courtesy, to be courteous to somebody, I mean, the background of that is someone's a part of the court, their royalty. And so you treat them like you would treat royalty. And I thought about that when my sister got to college and I was already there. I didn't want any of my friends to date her. And they'd all joke about that. I'm gonna date your sister. I was like, yeah, I'll kill you. Like, and they were like, oh, you're just being macho. And I was like, no, like, I know you. I've seen you and I don't trust you.
Yeah.
And someone was like, will anyone ever be good enough for it? When he left, I was like, yeah, somebody will. And when I thought about it, I was like, I want him to care about seeing her be the woman she's meant to be under God.
Right.
That's what I want this guy to do. And then God like did that thing. It was like, well, Ben, is that how you treat women? Is that what you do? And I was crying.
You're about
like,
to get
no,
Jackie going
not.
Now.
Yeah, because I was like, man, that is a daughter of the king. That is a son of the king. And what First Peter said, talking about married couples, he said, hey, man, if you're not living with your wife in an understanding way as a co-heir of the grace of life, he's like, I don't want to hear from you. Mm. He's like, don't talk to me. Like, he was like, I'm so associated with that woman that if you are not being gracious to her, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, men and women, that respect, that courtesy, if we could show that to each other.
That's good.
I honor you as a child of the king.
Yeah.
And so I speak the truth to you. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to toy with you. I'm going to be respectful to you.
Yeah.
Rome became increasingly more Christian in large part because they saw our relationships have the health and beauty you were just talking about.
Yeah, right.
So the culture can shift when they watch us do relationships right. Because wisdom will be vindicated by her deeds.
That's good. He said that.
Y'all have gone to preaching right there.
There you go.
I got excited.
So I think in the dating side of things, that's so helpful because it feels like we want the truth as long as we can still kind of have it the way we want it.
Yeah.
And I think it's great to just call the truth the truth in spite of the way we want it. So my behavior aligns with who I am and it aligns with what I know to be true. And I think truth is amazing these days because it feels like it's sort of a moving target. When in reality, truth is a plumb line. It's an absolute. It doesn't move at all. If there was nothing true, you could never build a building that's straight. Because you wouldn't know what to align the building to.
Yeah.
And so you would end up with a building that looked like this because you thought it was the horizon, but the horizon kind of moved. Time of day changed a little bit. An absolute plumb line has to be built so that you can then determine how to build everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if in your life there is no plumb line, then what are you building your life to?
Yeah,
What is the absolute? What is going to be the thing that you need to align to? And that's why I feel like people want this to be helpful to their life, but we don't read it.
Yeah.
So how would we know how it's actually going to affect the way we live if it's not something we're consuming? And I challenge us in today's culture in particular, where the truth feels like a variable, to know something absolute.
Great.
To have it hidden in your heart. I have a friend, Catherine Wolfe, who many of you guys know too, and she recounts when she had this massive massive brain stroke, and she was disabled in every way. And she was laying in a hospital bed, and they really honestly didn't know if she would live or die. That all she could recall was scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Because she had taken this, and she put it inside of her. And in a crisis that she didn't even know was coming, she was prepared with something absolute.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was ready. Yeah. And she didn't know she would need it, and neither do we. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neither do we.
Right
now, everything feels okay. It might not be as essential, but there might be a day coming where you could be completely disabled and all you could recall is this. Wouldn't you want that hidden in your heart for that moment? Yeah. And so we have a privilege today, and it feels like we're invited to this truth, and I think the way you guys are speaking about the effect that it has on our life is just so good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think a lot of people, we could all think of people we know who have gotten divorced in the pandemic, and the all the things that attracted them to this person, their home wasn't built on the strength of, like you're saying, God's word. And I think a lot of times when we're looking to who we're going to marry, who we're interested in, we're looking at the superficial stuff. Is he hot? Is she hot? So is hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, that can't be the basis. Like, there has to be
something more.
That
is not a good quote, but yes, I do know what you
mean. Like, what you're saying, like, for Jenny and I, in the worst moments when our daughter went to heaven, the strength of our marriage and the strength of our relationship, like, there was something of substance under there.
Yeah.
You know, it was Jesus was the anchor of it all. And so I think that has to be the most important thing in who the gospel at the center of your dating, all that.
Yeah.
Can I briefly speak to something related to that? Because I think one of the things that is problematic in Christendom is the way we talk about relationships sometimes can cause discouragement and discontentment in people. Because I think we see marriage, and it's beautiful. I've spoken about it before. It's a kind of glory, but it's not the highest glory.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think sometimes we think, the only way for me to feel wanted is to have a spouse. The only way for me to be affirmed is to have a spouse. The only way for me to have satisfaction is to have a spouse. But when you consider Jesus, he was very single and very whole. And it isn't just, it isn't just because he's God, because he's fully man too. So the incarnation actually speaks to the reality that we can be single and happy and joyful and good and fruitful.
Complete.
Yeah, because the preeminent relationship above all relationships is our relationship with God.
So good.
And that's the relationship that sustains us when we feel lonely.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so good, and that's a great place for us to wrap this segment up. Yeah. Incredible what you guys brought in this moment, and so thankful that we get to just share it with you guys. It's been profound in me just hearing us talk about what it means to really follow God.
Well, if you're anything like us, you're going to want to revisit this episode time and time again. Our deepest thanks to Shelley, Levi, Jackie, Ben, and Christian for so much truth and wisdom poured out. We know you'll want to share this, so please help us get this truth out by passing it along to all your people. And if you want to learn more or hear more from Passion 2021, be sure to check out passion2021.com. And as always, stay tuned in with The Grove on Instagram at PCC_The Grove. And we will catch you next time on The Grove Podcast.